The train burst from the gorge with an explosion of black smoke and glowing cinders, galvanizing hundreds of gazelle whose arched leaps were etched against the golden morning sky and the purple massif of Mount Kilimanjaro. The commandeur sat on a box of ammunition in the last flat car. His bush shirt carried no badges and had been crudely dyed khaki, the fashionable new military colour, which matched the thick dust sculpting his face into the mask of an eagle. One blue eye nestled in scar tissue, the other was guarded by a monocle. His sandaled feet rested on a worn cavalry saddle. It carried his needs, a rolled poncho, a ration of dried meat called biltong, a knife, and a battered dish in which he washed and cooked. His name was Paul von Leto Vorbeck, known as Leto, a lieutenant colonel of the German Imperial Army who had had 20 years of active service. He was accompanied by black soldiers, askaris from his Schutztruppe, the protective force of German East Africa. They walled the flat cars, their rifles slanting out over the Maasai plain dotted with thorn trees. The askaris wore crowns of feathers woven into their tight black curls for camouflage. Like the commandeur, they were spare, no more than skin on muscle on bone. The engineer, a bearded Sikh, swayed with the train as a naked African fed logs into the firebox. Two more blacks were braced to relieve the fireman if he faltered. The engineer's mouth fell open, and a beetle-stained grin split his beard. He hauled on the brake to pace the horseman who galloped alongside. The commandeur jumped at the first snatch of brakes and replaced the monocle with a black eye patch secured by an old shoelace and previously hidden in his reddish blonde hair. He leaned out beyond the flat car, two askaris bracing him, their hands like talons on his thighs. The horseman swerved and, with Leto to steady him, fell sideways into the flat car. The driver let the riderless horse run clear of the track and then inched open the throttle until the pistons thrust the train back into the pounding rhythm that had drummed in the ears of the Schutztruppe since midnight. "Orders from Governor Schnee," gasped the horseman, a big red-bearded settler. "You're to stay on Kilimanjaro."
"Only the Kaiser gives me that order."
"Then you'll fight."
"If the English invade, I fight."
A light, brilliant on the horizon despite the rising sun, blinked worriedly. Leto pulled a canvas-backed notebook from the pouch slung around his neck. An old black turned his back and leaned forward to make a desk for the commandeur. A silver-grey monkey perched on the old man's neck watched. The horseman shifted his bandoliers. They all waited for the distant heliograph to stop its bursts of Morse.
"The governor appeals to all settlers to keep the peace," Leto snapped shut the notebook. "That includes you, Prince."
"I'm at war."
"Not according to the governor."
"Confound the fool. The war's 3 months old in Europe. Already they call it the first war of the world."
"Not here. Not yet. Your job's protecting your farm against the tribes."
"And against the Uganda Railway volunteers," Prince spat. "Bloody Americans, most of them. As a reservist, I claim the right to fight."
"And destroy your own empire?"
"It's not mine anymore," Prince snapped in reply.
He glanced back at the ghost of Kilimanjaro along the horizon.